Okay, start with something from the end of the Sedra and work our way back a little bit. It says that after Yaakov Avinu is buried, and they're on the way back to Mitzrayim, that the Shvatim are then suspicious. They suspect Yosef that he's now going to take revenge on them and pay them back for everything they did to him, and he's just waiting and biding his time until Yaakov is no longer alive. So I think the obvious question is, why weren't they donim l'kaf schus? What made them suspect him of now, all these years, he's been very nice to them? Why did they suspect that it was only because of Yaakov, and now he has is going to really take revenge on them? So there's a medrash. The medrash says that what made them suspect him was the fact that when they were on the way back to Mitzrayim from burying Yaakov Avinu, they passed by the boar that Yosef was thrown into. And he went over to the boar and he made the bracha, Baruch she'asali neis b'makom hazeh. So the brothers said, you see, he remembers what happened. And now he's going to take revenge. Okay. On the surface, that doesn't answer the question. They didn't actually think that Yosef forgot the whole episode, just like, you know, had amnesia. And now they see he remembers, now he's going to take revenge. He obviously remembered. So we're back to the original question, why did they suspect him of wanting to take revenge just because he remembered what happened and he made the bracha shasali neis b'makom hazeh? In order to understand that, I have to understand a little bit what Yosef did to the brothers before this. When they came down to Mitzrayim, why did he put them through this terrible ordeal and send them back for what's it called, for Binyamin, put them in prison, and he made his father suffer extra? In fact, they asked, why didn't Yosef right away send his father a telegram, a shliach, that he's okay in Mitzrayim? Why did he wait for so many years till finally the brothers came down? There are many answers to that question. Some say because his dreams were prophetic dreams and he had to see that the prophecies were fulfilled. And this is the only way he could get for everybody to bow down to him. And in the end, they weren't completely fulfilled because Yaakov didn't bow to him. He wanted Yaakov to come down to get Binyamin and not know that he's Yosef and end up bowing down to him. Didn't happen. But that was one reason why he did it. And he felt he had a chiyuv to see to it that his prophecies were fulfilled. That in itself is difficult because we find that not every Navi has to fulfill his prophecies. Just the opposite. Yonah HaNavi ran away that he shouldn't have to fulfill it. Then others say that he wanted to make sure that the brothers no longer had the same problem they had before, that they no longer would put a brother in jeopardy because they thought that he was a danger to them. And therefore he put Binyamin into a similar situation with them to see how they would react. Another idea was that he wanted them to know, if he was afraid that if he would tell Yaakov that he was Yosef and reveal himself to the brothers, they would be afraid on the spot that he's going to take revenge and they'd run away. And Yaakov Avinu would lose all his children, not just one. So he made sure that he put them in a situation where they knew that if he wanted to, he could have killed them all. They were spies, robbers, right? He could have, Mi'ikar Adin of Ben Noach, kill them all. He had them under his thumb, and he didn't. So he proved to them that he doesn't mean them any harm. At that point already, it was okay to tell Yaakov. Now the brothers are not afraid anymore. All those are reasons that are given. One of the reasons, however, that's given is that he wanted to give them a kapara. Sometimes in order to get, to besides doing tshuva, you need also kapara. Tshuva takes away the aveira more or less between you and the Rabbanu Shel Olam, but the effect of the aveira needs kapara, has to compensate for the what was accomplished with the aveira, whatever. Take away the effect of the aveira, you need a kapara. Kapara comes in all ways. Part of it is called tshuva samishkal. You have to go through what you benefited to compensate, to even out. So he put them through exactly what he was through. And he put them in prison, and they understood what it was like to be thrown into a boar, into a prison. And he put them through the exact same thing that they put him through, and that way he tried to give them some kapara. Based on that, can say the following. What did he give them kapara for? What was their avera? In the beginning, they intended to kill him. Okay? And then only in the end did they sell him as a slave. So he gave them kapara for the selling him as a slave, because he put them in a situation where they were now fit to be slaves. But he never gave them kapara for wanting to kill him. Now, the question is why. So they assumed that Yosef knew that they never would have killed him. That it wasn't just a matter of circumstance, that if in fact it came push to shove, they wouldn't have killed him. And that's why immediately when Reuven said, look, let's not kill him aggressively, throw him into this pit, let the Nechashim and Akrovim kill him, they right away agreed, didn't argue. And when Yehuda said, let's not kill him at all, let's sell him, they also agreed. So they were under the impression that that which they said to begin with, that they were going to kill him, was really not operable. They really never meant it. And they assumed that Yosef also understood that they never would have killed him, and therefore all the kapara that he gave them up till then took away the aveira they had of selling him as a slave. However, when they came back and Yosef went to the boar and he said, Baruch she'asa li nes b'makom hazeh, they said that it must be that Yosef really suspects that we would have killed him. Because the halacha is that you don't make that bracha unless your life was in danger. If it's not a nes that saved you from death to life, your life wasn't in danger, and a nes didn't save your life, then you don't make that bracha. It's only when there was a threat to your life that you make such a bracha. Now, if Yosef held that the brothers never would have killed him, his life wasn't in danger. But if he'd held that the brothers would have killed him, then his life was in danger. So when he made the bracha, they said, you know what? Yosef thinks that we would have killed him. And therefore, he hasn't given us yet the kapara for wanting to kill him. And even though we know that Niskavin, what's it called, if you machshava roi, nakadosh baruch mitzar for lemaisa, you don't get punished for bad intentions. That's only where God doesn't have a proof that you would have carried it out. He gives you the benefit of the doubt that you wouldn't have. And even though God knows everything, when it comes to our free choice, he functions with us as if he doesn't know. So he gives us the benefit of the doubt. But if it's clear that they would have done it, had it not been for circumstance, had Reuven not spoke up, had Yehuda not spoken up, they would have taka killed him, then they're punished for that too. So therefore, when he made the bracha, she'asali neis, they said, wow, he thinks that we would have killed him. And therefore, all the kapara he gave us during Yaakov Avinu's life was only to compensate for the fact that we wanted to sell him a slave. But for wanting to kill him, we haven't been compensated for it. And now he's going to take revenge on us in order to give us that kapara. That's why they said, Lu yistameinu Yosef. Whenever you say something perhaps, there's two ways of saying it. One is lu, and the other is pen. The difference between them is when you don't want the thing to happen, you say pen. When you want it to happen, you say lu. What should they have said? Now Yosef's going to hate us and he's going to take revenge. Pen, perhaps. But we don't want that to happen. But they didn't say that. They said, Louis is to me, Halavai. Yosef's now going to hate us and take revenge because if he really thinks that we would have killed him and he's right, then we never got kapara for that. So therefore they were looking forward to having some kind of kapara for wanting to kill him. That's what they thought. But it was a mistake. Why was it a mistake? Because when Yosef made that bracha, yes, he thought his life was in danger, but not from the brothers. He thought his life was in danger because they threw him into a thing with snakes and scorpions, but they didn't know there were snakes and scorpions. Because had they known there were snakes and scorpions, according to some of the Farshim, they never would have thrown him into there. That's sudden death. That's almost like killing him with your hands. You throw him onto a snake or a scorpion. So therefore, according to some opinions, they didn't know there were snakes and scorpions. But there were. Yosef knew. He was in the boar with them. So he knew his life was in danger, but not because of the brothers, but because of the snakes and scorpions. So when he made the bracha, he made it because he knew that his life was in danger because of the snakes and scorpions. But they didn't know about the snakes and scorpions. They thought he thought his life was in danger from them, and therefore they were afraid that he was going to finish off the kapara, which he never gave them, for wanting to kill him, not just for wanting to sell him as a slave. Okay. Which brings us, any questions on that? Which brings us to the next part of this. And that is, did the brothers need kapara for what they did? Okay. Yosef said they don't need kapara. Why? Because atem chashavtem l'ra, but HaKadosh Baruch Hu chashava l'tova. You intended for the bad, but God intended for the good. I heard a vort in the name of Rav David Kronglass. He was the Mashgiach in Ner Yisrael in Baltimore quite a few years ago. And he said the following, and we're going to see there's a question on what he said. He said the following. He said that the Gemara says that whenever Rabbi Akiva would come to the sentence in the Torah, Isha hafeiram v'Hashem yislach lo, he would cry. Okay, that pasuk we learned the following halacha from. The pasuk is talking about the following case. A woman made a nether to deprive herself of something. She made a nether not to eat cake. And her husband heard the nether on the day that she made it, and he has the prerogative to be mefer the nether. He can obliterate the nether so that there's no nether. He doesn't have to tell her. She doesn't have to know that he obliterated it. He just has to say, mufer, finished. So the husband heard her made that nether, and he didn't want his wife not to eat cake. Neither rabbi, the more of her, the better. So he was made for the nether. He was made for the nether. And he didn't tell her. She held out for 2 weeks and didn't eat any cake. And then she broke down and swallowed a chocolate cake whole. She felt terrible, physically and spiritually. And she came to her husband and said, I did a terrible thing today. I made a nether 2 weeks ago not to eat cake, and today I swallowed a whole chocolate cake. The husband said, don't worry about it. 2 weeks ago, I heard your nether, and I was made for it. You didn't have any nether. It's gone. So you didn't do anything wrong. The Torah says, not true. Isha hafeiram. Even though her husband was made for the nether, the Hashem yislech la, God needs to forgive her. She needs kapara. From there, we learn the following halacha. Niskavin lecho boser chazir. If you intended to eat chazir, but by accident you ate kosher, you need kapara. Okay, I think that we spoke about this way back in the beginning of the year when we spoke about how tshuva works. Remember? Okay, I'm not going to go into the details again. But in any case, that is the fact, that if you intended to do bad, but by accident you did good, you need kapara. Okay. So, Rabbi Akiva, whenever he would come to this pasuk, would cry. So this Rav David Kronglass explained why. Rabbi Akiva was one of the Asara Harugei Malchus. They died as a kapara for Mechiras Yosef. Now, had Yosef forgiven the brothers completely, was mochel them, then they wouldn't need any kapara for generations, because there was a mechila. But Yosef was never mochel the brothers, because he said they don't need mechila. You intended for bad, but it worked out for the good. You don't need mechila. But Yosef made a mistake, seemingly, because not true. Because if you intend to do bad, but it works out for the good, you do need mechila. Torah says it in this pasuk. You intended to eat treif, turned out to be kosher, you need to do tshuva. Meaning, you need mechila, kapara. Had Yosef not made a mistake, and had he been mochel the brothers, and not said you don't need mechila, then perhaps there wouldn't be no necessity for Hasara Levimalchus. And therefore, whenever Rabbi Akiva came to that pasuk, he cried, knowing that because of this pasuk, right, he's going to have to eventually die because of the kapara for Mechilas Yosef. Had Yosef not made a mistake in this sentence and given the brothers Mechila, knowing they needed kapara, then maybe he wouldn't have had to die as one of the Asara Arugei Malchus. And even though it's a big thing to die Al Kiddush Hashem, but it's a bigger thing to live Al Kiddush Hashem. Okay. That is what he said. There's a problem with it, though. Yes. Does he have a chiyuv to be mochel? No, but if he... yes and no. If he knows that the person's sincere and that he Rathaka wouldn't do it again or whatever, yeah, then if he's not mochel, he is cruel. And it's wrong not to be mochel. Yeah. The what? Because the Sfarim say that the sin of Mechiras Yosef left such a bad imprint on the Jewish people that they did something so horrendous because of their own personal fears that they were going to be pushed aside or whatever. Right? They were willing to do something so terrible to bolster their own standing that it had to come to a point of somebody who could be on their level, who would give up everything, selflessly, Leman Hashem. And that would take away the effect or the pagam that was left in Klal Yisrael. And until the generation of the Asara Gemara, there weren't people who were on that level. And it says not only were on that level, but the nine brothers were the ones who made the sale. HaKadosh Baruch Hu went into the Shvua not to tell Yaakov and basically acquiesced to their desire. So the Rabbanim Shem counted as the tenth. It says the nine Harugei Malchus were a kapara on the nine brothers, and Rabbi Akiva Kibiyochel was the kapara on the Rabban Shlom's part in this too. Ad Kedekach. But it needed totally selfless people who would be mechaper on people who did such a terrible aveira because of selfishness, because they felt that their position was being encroached. In any case, there's a problem with this. Both the Or HaChaim HaKadosh and the Sfarno say that Yosef didn't have to be mochel them. There was no inyan for mechila. They didn't do anything wrong. Yosef was right. One of them says, the Or HaChaim, I think, says, it can be compared to the following case. If somebody intended to poison somebody, and by accident he gave them wine, good, nice, old wine. Doesn't have to ask mechila, nothing. I didn't do anything to you. The fact that I intended to kill you, but in the end it worked out fine. Nothing happened. I don't need kapara. That's the Or HaChaim HaKadosh, which seems to go against that Gemara that I told you. Because Gemara says if I intended to do something wrong and it worked out for the good, that I do need kapara. The Sfarno says that they didn't need kapara for a different reason. The only time you need kapara is where you did it on purpose. You thought, what's it called, that this was wrong, and it worked out for the good. But the brothers didn't think they were doing anything wrong. They thought that Yosef was chayev to be killed. He was a rodef. They made a mistake. So they thought they were doing something right. In the end, it worked out to be right. So there was no reason for kapara. Normally, you need kapara in two cases, aside from the one where you actually did something wrong and you intended to do wrong. But there's the two other cases on the side. You thought you were doing something right, and it turned out wrong. You thought you were eating kosher, and it turned out treif. Okay, you need kapara there. Right, that's a korban chatas for certain things. Right, I thought it was Sunday, and I was really mechal Shabbos. It was Shabbos, so you have to bring a korban chatas. That's called shogeg. I thought I was doing something okay, and by accident I did something wrong. Then you need kapara. The opposite is also true. I thought I was doing something wrong, but in the end it turned out okay. There I also need kapara. And we've explained way back in the beginning of the year why in both of those cases you need kapara. When you thought you were doing something right, but it turned out wrong, you have the effect of the avera. You didn't intend to rebel against God, but the poison of the avera is there, so you have to get it out of your system. That's shogeg. The opposite is, I ended up eating kosher, but I thought I was eating treif. I don't have the poison of the sin, but I intended to rebel against God. So in one case, I need kapara because I rebelled against God. In the other case, I need it because I have the poison of the avera. Now let's see that's between man and God, eating treif, being over a nether. How about intending to harm another human being? Beinodel chaveiro. Okay, over there, is there any isser of wanting to rebel against your neighbor? No, there's only an isser of harming him. If you didn't harm him, you could want to rebel against him. There's no prohibition in the Torah of wanting to rebel against God is one thing. Rebel against your neighbor, there's no isser. So if I intended to give my neighbor poison, but it turned out to be wine, so I didn't harm him, and I can't be punished for the intention because there's no prohibition of having an intention of wanting to harm somebody. The prohibition is harming them. There is a prohibition against rebelling against God, but not rebelling against your neighbor when no harm came to his way. The Sfarno also. If I thought I was doing something right, but it was really wrong, then I need kapara because of the effect. But over here, in the end, it wasn't wrong either. It worked out okay. So I thought I was doing something right. It was really wrong, but it worked out for the right. There's no reason for kapara. Not from my intention, and not from the result. It's just in the middle, it could have been bad, and I could have made a mistake, but it didn't turn out bad. So what do I need kapara for? So in fact, both according to the Sfarno and the Orach Chaim, and the way we explained it, really the brothers did not need kapara from Yosef, and he didn't have to be mochel them to give them that kapara, and therefore he was 100% right. So what Rav David Kronglass said, the Chora is wrong. That since Yosef wasn't mochel them, right, therefore they needed a kapara, and the kapara had to be the Asar Ugi Malchus. According to all of this, Yosef didn't have to be mochel them. The answer is, I think, that's what Yosef had to be mochel, what he did, what they did to him. But they had to ask Mechila from the Rabbonu Shel Olam, because by wanting to sell him, they made a mistake in an effect it didn't happen. But in wanting to sell Yosef, they also rebelling against God. For that they needed Mechila, from the Rabbonu Shel Olam. Yosef should have said, look, you're going to the wrong address. I don't have to be mochel you, because you don't need mechila from me. Because for all the reasons we said, between man and man, everything's okay. Because you really intended to do good, you made a mistake, and it worked out for the good. So there's no reason for me to have to be mochel you. But l'maisa, you need mechila from the Rabbanu Shel Olam, because ultimately, what's it called, you were wrong, and you did something wrong, and that you need mechila from God. From me, you don't need mechila, but you need mechila from the Rabbanu Shel Olam. And he didn't say that. He said, you don't need mechila at all. And because they didn't ask and do tshuva from the Rabbanu Shel Olam, that's why there's Asara Uge Malchus. Yes.
Is it possible that in the older, like, 20 or so years, the brothers, all nine of them didn't, like, possibly even, like, even have thoughts of tshuva or...
No, the Torah says Betheris not. When they were beset with Yosef Tzara, and they didn't know why it's happening, right, they said the following, Hashem imanachnu alachinu. Yes, they checked for all those 20 years, what Avera they did, and they could only find one. Not that we sold our brother. That when he begged us, we weren't merciful on him. Meaning, they still felt vindicated that they sold him. And they didn't do anything wrong. But still, you know, they were a little bit too cruel. That's the only Avera they found. So they didn't do tshuva for the etzem selling. They only did tshuva, perhaps, for being a little bit too much cruel. They should have done it in a more merciful way, right? They shouldn't have caused him the tsar that they did. But what they did was right, 100%. That's what they felt.
So if they felt they did it totally right, then how is it, like, under their, I don't know, like that, their held accountable for something they felt they did right?
Because, okay, so let's say they made an honest mistake.
Yeah.
But it wasn't an honest mistake. I'll tell you what... said in a different place, different parasha, but it's since we're talking about this, it Bechara, if they really made an honest mistake, they thought that Yosef was a rodeif or whatever, so they made a mistake. Why punish them for that, especially so seriously? But the Torah is made that it wasn't an honest mistake. It was brought upon by Kina. The Mishnah says in Pirkei Avos, Hakina v'hataiva v'hakavod motzina sa'adam min ha'olam. Simple meaning is that if you have kina, taiva, or kavod, takes you out of the world, this world, the next world. Right? I think it means something else. It takes you out of reality, and you don't see things properly. If you have a taiva, you distort what you see, and you can't see things the way they really are. If you're jealous of somebody, the same thing. If you're looking for cover, same thing. And therefore, it wasn't that they just made an honest mistake in thinking that Yosef was trying to get them destroyed in this world, the next world, as the Sfarno says. Right? That he was afraid that they were trying to get Yaakov to curse them, to banish them, like Avram banished Yishmael, and he would remain the only one to carry on Klal Yisrael. That's what they thought. So if they thought it, and Yosef was the one who initiated it and brought it upon him, then why punish them for making a mistake, especially so harshly? The reason that they thought that was because they were jealous. And because of that, they saw a distorted picture. And they came to their conclusions. Since the foundation was something they could have controlled, had they not been jealous, they never would have made this mistake. They're held guilty for the mistake, too. It's not an honest mistake. It's a dishonest mistake. For that, you're held guilty.
And does that mean they never fixed the bad midah of Kina?
No, it could be they fixed up the bad midah of Kina, and the same thing with Binyamin or whatever, but they should have done tshuva for what that Kina brought them to do. And similar to that, since we're mentioning it already, I wanted to explain a very difficult Gemara. With that everybody speaks about, but I think that based on this idea, there's an explanation. The Gemara says like this. When Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai was on his deathbed, his students came to bid him farewell and to visit him in his last moments of life. And when he saw them, he began to cry. And they asked him, why is he crying? He said, because if they be bringing me before an earthly king, who today is here and tomorrow in the grave, that if he gets angry at me, his anger can't be forever. If he punishes me, the most he can do is kill me in this world, and I'd still be crying if they were going to bring me before a king for judgment. Now I'm being brought before God, who is eternal. He's not here today and gone tomorrow. And if he gets angry at me, his anger could be forever. And if he punishes me, he could punish me forever. His death is an eternal death. And there's two paths. I don't know which one I'm going to. I shouldn't cry. Now, it seems a little absurd that Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai should think that it's possible he's going to be killed eternally. The only ones that Gehenim is not mechaper are apikursim and minim and really, really bad people. Did Rabbi Yochanan Zakkai think that it's possible that he's in that category? What was he saying? I mean, it's absurd, right? That for sure is not what's going to happen to you. What did he think he was? So some say, well, he was just trying to impress upon his students what's possible to be, even though it didn't apply to him necessarily. I have a different shot, based on the following. The Gemara says that Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai left Yerushalayim when it was under siege by the Romans, and he pretended he was dead, and his students carried him out, and he went to see, Vespasian, but the Gemara doesn't call him Vespasian. The Gemara calls him Aspasinus Caesar, right? Aspasinus Caesar. He was the shliach of Titus to destroy Yerushalayim. He came out and he said to him that he couldn't get out because of the Biryonim who were forcing the issue, and really they wanted to make peace with Rome. And Aspasinus Caesar was so impressed with Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai that he told him, ask for what you want, I'll give you what you want. He said, I want three things. I want a doctor to heal Reb Tzadok, who fasted for 40 years before the Beis HaMikdash was destroyed, and he was as skinny, you could see if he swallowed something, you could see it going all the way down. That's how skinny he was. So he wanted a doctor to heal him. He wanted Yavne v'chachomeha, the Sanhedrin should continue outside Yerushalayim in Yavne. There should be a continuation of the spiritual leaders of Klal Yisrael, and Shushilta d'Rab Gamliel, the political leaders, the Nasi, should be able to continue. Don't kill out the political leaders, don't kill out the spiritual leaders, and heal Reb Tzadok. That's what he asked for. Years later, the Gemara discussed whether Rabbi Yochanan Zakkai made a mistake or not. One opinion said that he made a mistake. He should have asked that they spare Yerushalayim, they don't destroy the Beis HaMikdash. And the other opinion says no, that he didn't make a mistake, because tafasta meruba, lo tafasta. If he would have asked for that, they would have given him nothing. He understood that that's not something that they're going to do. So he asked what he thought they would do. He asked for what he thought they would agree to. But he knew that leaving them and not destroying the Beis HaMikdash and just going home, that was something the Romans couldn't do. So these are the two opinions. In the end, the Gemara says Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai made a mistake. But it wasn't his fault. God made him make the mistake. Sometimes the Rabbanu Shel Olam makes Chachamim make mistakes. What appears to us as a mistake, really should have asked for everything. Why didn't he? Because the Rabbanu Shel Olam meshiv Chachamim ochor v'daitom yisachel. The Rabbanu Shel Olam makes Sadiq make a mistake because he doesn't want he wants that result to be. He wanted the Beis HaMikdash destroyed. So therefore, he made sure that Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai would not say something that would be effective. That was Ratzon Hashem. That's the Gemara. Now, if the Chachamim had this question, whether Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai made a mistake or not, it's reasonable to say that Rabbi Yochanan Mizrachi himself, before he died, had the same question. Maybe I caused the destruction of the Beis HaMikdash by what's it called, by making the wrong choice. Maybe I should have asked for everything. Maybe it plagued him for the rest of his life. Okay, fine. Worse comes to worse, he made a mistake. Okay? So, that's going to get him Gehenna forever? Yes. Because maybe he was afraid. He didn't make the mistake either because it was an honest mistake. He just made a bad call. Or because God made him make the mistake. That he didn't take into consideration at all. There's another possibility. Rabbi Yochanan Zakkai had an ongoing argument with the Biryonim. They said that, what's it called, that we should go to war with Rome. And Rabbi Yochanan Zakkai said, we're not on the level to go with war. We have to capitulate and live under their rule. And the Biryonim forced the issue, and they burned all the food supplies or whatever, and they forced the confrontation with Rome. If the Beis HaMikdash had not, when the Beis HaMikdash was destroyed, Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai could turn around to the Biryonim and say, I told you so. My sheet that was vindicated. Had you not done what you did, maybe the Beis HaMikdash wouldn't have been destroyed. But look where it led to. Your sheet that led to this. Had he asked for the Beis HaMikdash not to be destroyed, then it would have been a draw. Nobody would ever know if he was right or they were right, because nothing would have happened. So he couldn't prove that he was right, I told you so, because nothing would have happened. And maybe they wouldn't have destroyed it in the end either. Maybe the Biryonim were right. Maybe Rabbi Yochanan Zakkai thought about himself. Maybe I made that decision not to ask that Yerushalayim be spared, not because I really thought that, I'm asking for too much, but because since I wanted that covet of being right, it totally blurred my vision and caused me to think that it's not the right thing to ask for. Not consciously, but where's the root? The covet. And since the root was covet, I am the one responsible for the destruction of the Beis HaMikdash, Golus Yisrael, for that, you get Mises Olam. That's why he had a doubt. Same exact thing by the Achi Yosef. They made a mistake because they read the situation wrong. But the reason they read the situation wrong, because they had Kina. Same thing over here. He read the situation wrong. In the end, the Gemara says he read it wrong because God wanted him to read it wrong. The other possibility is he just made a mistake. But there was a third possibility in his mind that wasn't true, but he was afraid of it, that maybe he read the situation wrong because of the COVID, of being able to be vindicated and say to the Biryonim, I told you so, when the Beis HaMikdash was destroyed. And if that was the case, then Taka, maybe he's going to get Mises Olam. Yeah. Because, again, it wasn't a kapara, it was something that left a blemish on the essence of the Jewish people. To take that essence away, it had to wait till the time that there were people of the level that could take away that blemish for the entire people. And until there was these 10 Gedolim, and they weren't all at the same time, right? Until each one of them was on the level that they could take that blemish away collectively from Klal Yisrael. The what? Yeah, but there was no one who was ever put in the situation that these people were put in. It had to be a Shas HaShmad, all the circumstances were ideal, that now if these people will give their lives selflessly under the conditions that they had to live in, that'll take away the pagan. Oh, so it's not so much that Yosef was responsible for that. But had Yosef told them, look, I'm telling you from my side, for all the reasons we said, you don't need mechila from me. But don't make the mistake to think you don't need mechila from the Rabbanu Shalom. But when he told them, you don't need mechila, you thought for the bad, it worked out for the good, it's okay. But he didn't point out to them that that's only between man and man. But between man and God, when you think you're doing something right but it's wrong, you need kapara. Well, when, just the opposite. When you think you're doing something wrong and it's right, you need kapara. And that's why when Rabbi Akiva came to that pasuk, he cried, because he realized that had Yosef pointed out to them that what I'm telling you is only between us, but not between you and the Rabbanu Shel Olam, then maybe they would have done a different kind of tshuva and it wouldn't have necessitated his death. That's what Rav David Kongler said.
So, also the essence, every binazim,
exactly.
So there is no, you can't differentiate between them, they're really both.
No, you can just differentiate that you don't need the kapara from the person, it's just an avera,
right,
between binazim and makom. Right, exactly. Exactly. Okay, anything else short here? Not really.